Hi, everybody. It is another episode of The Everyday Goddess, trying to create an extraordinary life, and I am with two extraordinary men. You might know them as Chaos Alex and Chaos Brian, but I know them as completely different. They have an amazing podcast, which is...
Wise words from a decent man.
Very decent man.
Sometimes decent.
Sometimes too decent.
I can see where this interview is going to go. But, so we're at the Soho House, and it's one part of the series, and I want to just throw out really quick, and I'm going to ask you both at the same time, and whoever answers first is fine with me, but why the Soho House?
Creation, ovulation, germination, what else is part of creation?
Iteration.
Not iteration, it's creation. Interested in creating, almost like a surfer. Sees the waves, sees them coming, they were there before him, they're gonna be there after him. We more or less wanna create that wave, that current, that surfboard to really bring in a new way of being. I think this is the perfect place to go. Just create that new, hey, like, this is life, but this is what you can do about life. To better suit you, better equip you to being you, living that life you want, creating the life you want.
I think for myself personally, it's about giving yourself a test in life just to see like where you come and if you belong at the level you think you are. So it's almost like when you go to college, you take like a placement exam. Like I remember like for me, like one thing, I never traveled much. So the first time I went to Miami and I went and I experienced it, I saw that I was like at a new level of life. So I think for myself, like the Soho House is almost like a placement test. Like, am I this person that I believe I am and like, you know, that I've created? So immersing myself with so many different successful people of all different walks of life and just seeing that like I can be in this environment and like I belong in this environment shows me that I arrived at where I need to actually have.
For me, it's really cathartic because I'm one of the founding members here. So I remember when we did the first walkthrough here and there was no furniture, nothing. And actually, they had the grand opening night with one long table. There was nothing else. There was no furniture anywhere. And it was just visioning. And it was a U-shaped table. And there had to be about 100 of us. And we were in that other room. And you had to move playset. You had to move your chair at every course. So at one point I was sitting next to Charlene Theron, and then I was with Julianne Moore, and then I was with the creator of NARS makeup, and you know, it was all these crazy people.
Crazy.
It was crazy. Then the only thing that we could do after we ate was they showed us the rooms. So we walked from room to room. And I remember looking at all the other investors, and for us it was interesting because we all had these other financial and very British backgrounds. You know, I had been in London for so long as a teen, so this is a very European theory that you kind of create this membership club that's not just based on like-minded energy, but you try to create a like-hearted energy. And one of the things that they've always done here is try to keep the energy balanced, so it's not an overload of finances or an overload of, you know, actors and actresses. So to hear you know, you're like the next generation, and I love that I get to kind of walk through with you, you know, like I feel like I'm ushering it in again, you know, this next level, especially as the other buildings open, and to hear your ideas of why. And I look at you both as two really brilliant young men that are really intuitive and connected and aren't afraid of that. And to hear you want to bring that to a level that introduces it to other people to make it more mainstream for them, to me is really exciting. So me being excited for you, I want to know what excites you about the next process as we come into the second half of the year. And here you are, right, in this kind of place where you've decided, I don't want to be conformists, but conformists, not so bad. It's not so bad. We can do this. But so what excites you now about your next level?
Excitement in itself.
Say it's Alex.
Excitement in itself. Of just that the truth is there. That there's no more searching for it. It's just known. And it's just stepping into that again. And just feeling it, embracing it. Embracing that change. Not running away from it. But just almost like stepping into that void, you know, that we talk about all the time. Just stepping. stepping into that place that feels so uncomfortable, but yet you know what's on the other side. It's just like realizing, wow, I'm being positioned and I'm being set up by these energies, these things behind the scenes to bring in that kind of new energy, bring in everything. You know, the universe right now is conspiring for us to get everything that we want, and it's beautiful that I feel that. That I know what's going on, that I know. It's just a knowing feeling, you know? They call it soul consciousness. You just know that knowing. You know. It's just that it's exciting. Yeah. Just,
if you know, you know.
Yeah.
You know. Right? This is Brian speaking. So I'm very metaphorical when I talk. So I think about it like this, right? In every superhero movie, let's take Spider-Man for example, right? He's in the museum. He gets bitten by the spider, right? And now his arm's itching for a few days. He feels a little bit off. He feels a little bit sick. And then one day he wakes up, and like now he's having fun, right? Because he's going through being sick, and now he's picking up lockers. The bully tries to fight him. He throws the bully across the room. He runs and he jumps and then he's swinging, right? So for me, what most excites me about this year is like I've gone through so much and I've been through so much. So now I'm excited to just test out my powers and see like what can I do? Where can I go? Like what can I create? And I'm just, you know, I'm really excited to see how that's gonna look, because like right now I'm Spider-Man. I know I got the itch and I know I have the powers, but I don't know what I'm capable of. So just not that unknown of being able to step in and feel more powerful is what really excites me.
What about Venom?
So this is all very existential, truthfully, right? We're talking about these energies that are very existential energies, but there's something very specific that needs to kind of happen. So you're both in physical fitness, and that's what brought you together, because you would have never known each other if you hadn't both been at Chaos. But yet Chaos, this physical energy, brought you to this existential place of wanting to create another level of energy. So how do you see that playing out? So you're excited about it, and just like Spidey has his Spidey senses, right? But he still has his web, you know, and he's still Peter Parker and he's got to go to high school. What do you see that next level being? Like, do you see Chaos or being together in a physical fitness, or do you see it going to another place? Do you see that this... for you, because you're both young men, so like for me it's always been I guess because I'm a girl, I've always been around women, so to say, you know, all my businesses, even though I've been in restaurants and stuff, I've always been more helpful to women than I have to anybody else. But you are in a place where you're helpful to both men and women, so where do you see your partnership going outside of your podcast, and how do you see it becoming physical?
I believe that even though me and Brian share a lot of polarities as far as what he believes in and what I believe in, two different backgrounds, two different passions, but there's similar message there. I feel like we mesh it so well because I'm up in the air almost and he's down on the ground, and he just, like, I bring him ideas that are like outlandish and he helps him ground them in. So I think going forward we're just going to see a lot more of that, of like these almost like ultra realistic ideas being made realistic because we're tapping into those energies that we possess inherently, naturally. So it's going to be more of that. However they conspire to be in the physical, I can't name them because I just can't label what they're going to look like and be like in the physical, but I just know that they're going to be related to, you know, things like wellness, things like well-being, things like, you know, the gym, but just a different way that's been there, but just people haven't seen it. And that's what it's going to more or less lead to.
The best way I can describe, this is Brian again, the best way I can describe me and Alex is, you guys can't see what we're wearing right now, right? But if you were to look at us, I have a red shirt on that has blue stripes and it's splashed all over the place, right? And then if you look at Alex, Alex has a white, red, and blue shirt with just a touch of yellow. So that goes to similarize that I feel like me and Alex are the same person in a lot of ways, but we're just different. So it's almost yin and yang. So what I see now for me and Alex is that, like, we've kind of cemented the fact that, like, we're great at what we do when it comes to, like, spirituality, fitness, all that stuff like that. Now we're going to try to figure out a way and this next energy to leave an impact where we help other people do what we do on a bigger scale. So we're not limiting ourselves to do the guys from Englewood, New Jersey. Our goal now is just to position ourselves to be the guys who help everybody everywhere.
I like that. So, with that said, do you feel like being two men in this new energy, right? And I make fun, and if Deepak Chopra ever hears this podcast, I hope he doesn't take it personal. But I always think to myself, like, if I was a guy coming up in the spirit, in awakening to a spiritual identity, right? Because we keep saying, right, we're all spirits living in a material world, still, right? That's so true. I don't know if, like, if Deepak Chopra was my... I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't know. I'd be looking at if he was my idol. I'd be like, I don't know if I want to do this, guys. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to be Deepak. I mean, but so do you see yourselves taking that role? Like being an idol or being a role model for other men to kind of feel safe and confident in being able to connect to their spiritual identity without necessarily being considered crunchy granola and, you know, some great guru?
I feel that I've always wanted to be a teacher. And it's interesting, there's that 150 Cent lyric from Many Men, what he's like, this is for my dogs on the corner toasting trees and cigars, this is for my dogs locked up in the cell behind walls. It's pretty much, like, I've seen the whole macho masculine world that our men are supposed to have, and that's good. And I've seen the whole role, like, yeah, you can be in touch with your spiritual side. So now what I want to show men, specifically to men right now, is it's not soft, it's not weak, it's not anything prissy, sissy, whatever, to be in touch with that spirit. That's what I'm trying to show people. You know, like, I've seen it all on that aspect. And I'm telling you, you can still be the tough guy that you want to be, and you can still be involved in this life. This is the real deal. You know, this is what really is going on. So we're preaching to that point, like, on the men, on the masculine level. Like, hey, it's cool to be in touch with your feminine side. It's cool to be in balance. I feel it's more weak, quote unquote, to not be in touch with that. To box that out. You're just showing me, you're showing me fear. But even the people that are afraid, we still want to reach you, because it's okay to be afraid too. Perfectly fine being
there. I like that. For so many of us, one more Google. I'll never forget my teacher wore a blue hat, right? She was doing smoke joints. And he's like, I don't wear a Nehru jacket. The guy was like, are you gonna wear a Nehru jacket? And then I see Deepak Chopra in a Nehru jacket, and I'm like, oh man. Take off the Nehru jacket. I'm sorry.
I think this is Brian again, right? So I'll use myself for example. If you come to one of my spin classes, or if you see me in a gym, right? There's a very good chance I may have a leopard headband on. I may have neon leggings. Right now I have on white jeans. So I say that to say that the form of communication that me and Alex use through fitness allows us to break a wall. Because a lot of men grow up without strong male role models. So they develop this sense of being homophobic, where they're afraid to be spiritual, because being spiritual means being in touch with feminine, your feminine energy, right? So what me and Alex do is we show you that, hey, I'm in touch with my feminine energy, but I can squat 500 pounds. So what that does is that just makes guys say, all right, Brian has a leopard headband on right now, but he could probably kick my ass. So I'm gonna trust him. So I think that the way we're doing it is almost like a 1-2 punch. We get you to feel comfortable in the flesh, so that once we take you spiritual, nothing will ever make you feel like, hey, I'm being a little bit funny, because you're so comfortable in the physical and the flesh. So the way we're approaching that, I think, is perfect to really inspire men, because Deepak Chopra isn't gonna fight anybody, right? But like me and Alex at the same time,
so
like,
true. He could throw down.
We're gonna tell you, like, yo, you need to be, you need to increase your vibration, but we'll still smack the shit out of you.
Either you get down or tell it. Either you get down or you lay down.
It's funny, my teacher Peter, who's passed away, one of the first things I'll never forget, he was an FBI hostage negotiator. So I must have been like 18, 19 years old, and we were meditating, you know, something we never really did. And he got a call, and I had to go to a shooting. And I was like, that's how I grew up, you know? Like, my father was a gangster, and like, there was this mate, perfect sense to me, you know? So when Deepak Chopra, and I'm not making fun of him, guys, so please don't, like, call him up and say Bianca's, like, dishing on you or something. I'm really not.
Shots fired.
I'm just thinking, like, that's just not life, you know? I remember when Russell Simmons came out with his, like, yoga CD, and I was listening to it, and I was like, this sucks. Like, you're just reading something. You're not even... You're trying here, but I look at you two and I'm like, I get it. Like, you show me all the time that you're more connected than you let on sometimes. But with that said, who were your role models then?
Oh, man. I like to think, I don't know, I have a lot. You know, my role models, sorry for stuttering, have been these fictitious characters at times from all walks of life. Members, like, I look at people, I look at situations, and I read and I respond well to what that person's conveying, what their story's conveying. My grandfather, he had such an amazing bond, you know, he was there when I was born on that side. Just actors, like the Great Gatsby. When I was young, I wanted to be Jay Gatsby. Like, I just love that lifestyle. I was just like, I was reading, that was the first book I ever read from start to finish that I was like, wow, this is cool. Like, I need to know more. Like, just like my brother, my younger brother, you know, recently passed away. Huge role model. You know, one of my first psychotherapists, Phil Carrier, he was just like, introduced me to the world of shamanism combined with, you know, modern day psychology. It's just the list goes on and on, from like Genghis Khan to like Jesus Christ. I just love all sorts of these people, you know. I want to be like them in a sort of way.
So you don't have a modern day role model then?
Modern day? I don't think so. I think I'm slowly starting to just become my own person. Expectations of like what I would look for. And that's what I've always done since I was maybe like 13. I've always wanted to position myself to be almost like a role model for others, especially my cousins. You know, I have a lot of male cousins, female cousins, and I just wanted to show them, you know, what life can be like,
you know? A different way.
Yeah.
So I do believe that that's one thing that's lacking for you. No, Brian, I want you to go, but that there's no real, even for me, truthfully, there's no real strong role models anymore for this connection, you know? I can't turn around and say, I connect to somebody who's doing this on another level right now, in any sense. And I don't have it.
And I think, this is Alex, I think, you know what was interesting? Me and Brian spoke about that a while ago. There's nobody in the world that's doing what we do that we aspire to be like.
Yeah.
There's no one person, there's no one group, there's no one thing.
That's so true.
I think for me, it's weird, but my grandfather, Noble Blackwell, he started so many careers. He started Oprah's career. You know, he's one of the first. He started Jimi Hendrix's career with his TV show, Night Train. And ever since I was a kid, he groomed me. Like, he would make me report the news, right? And one thing he instilled in me was that, like, there's never anyone that can have something that you can't have. So, you know, one thing about me, it was like, I was never really impressed by anyone, like, so much to the point where I thought they were a role model. But there were a few people that, like, inspired me. One of them, which is very funny, was Eddie Murphy's role in Boomerang when he played Marcus Graham, because as a black man in 1992, there weren't a lot of images of black people that were like very successful. Like, he had a loft apartment, a penthouse.
So funny, that was on last night.
And I watched it last night too, and it was one of the first things I realized watching, because like I didn't know any black people like this. You know, I didn't know any black men that were like that. And then another person who was very, a strong role model for me was 50 Cent. And it's funny because like 50 Cent came from a very similar situation that I came from, because my dad wasn't around when I was younger. So I had all of these very feminine characteristics from being raised by a woman, right? But then on that other side of it, I had like all this aggression and all this rage that was there. So on that side of it, he showed me that it's okay to take those characteristics and channel them and be a wolf, right? But then at the same time, he also showed me that, like, look, all you gotta do is just outwork the competition and you can be anywhere you want. So I think that was something that was very strong for me the last few years, because like I looked at him when he came into the game, and like no one predicted he'd be where he was, but he had such a strong passion, and he believed it, and he did it. So I carry that with me every day.
So funny, I didn't know that your grandfather was Night Train. I can see that now.
You know Night Train, right?
I know Night Train, and I'm looking at you, and I'm like, I can see it now.
And he groomed me from a kid. He would make
That's
me report
crazy.
The news.
I know.
He would tell me, he'd be like, you're going to be a star. Like, and he knew it. It's funny.
I can see that when the first, it's not knowing that, it's just growing up with it. That's so funny, because I can see that in you, Brian, totally now. You know, it's funny, because one of the first things that I learned early on was that you didn't want to externalize, right? That was like the whole thing. Like it was just the whole idea of glamour, what glamour can do. And again, everybody, I'm not saying Marianne Williamson is anything other than beautiful and perfect. I respect them. I honestly do. I'd love the Oprah effect. I promise you that. But, you know, for me, they just never gave me the nuts and bolts. Like I couldn't bite my teeth into what they were saying, right? Because they weren't really talking to me. My life was completely different, I felt, than what they were sharing, until Brian gave me the book Divine Compensation.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, and it's funny because I read the Course in Miracles, and I did the Course in Miracles around the same time Marianne Williamson did. So, and I had a completely different perception of it. Two different worlds, you know? It was like, she got one thing, I got another thing. And listening to the book Divine Compensation and kind of going, now that I'm a little bit older, I kind of get it a little bit more. But I look at your generation, I look at the like where you are right now, and I feel like the millennials and the generation behind them are lost. You know, I see it in my own son. There's no real connection that you could bite your teeth into.
Yeah.
And I love 50 Cent. I was watching something with him the other night, and I just thought, you know, he was explaining, he's like, I came from nothing, and big is good. Like he was so proud of this 50,000 square foot house that he has that he can't sell now, you know. He's like, but big was good. Like, I came from one room. Like, this was a good thing. And now he was looking back at it and going, maybe this wasn't so good anymore. Like, I'm stuck with a 50,000 square foot house and I can't sell. Like, this might not have been it. So just to see that there is no strong role model that shows the path, you know, and I think that you and Alex show that, Brian. Like, you guys remind me that there are, the seeds were planted and they took root.
Yeah.
And then they're...
That's so interesting. I mean, now that I've never had that insight where, I just picked up on that line that somebody said years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know who said it, but somebody did. Yeah, like you're saying, somebody did plant those seeds, and I bit into it and I just started doing things. And it's interesting, I don't know who did it. You can't pinpoint it. Somebody did, though. That's the interesting part, though. Somebody, something, some energy, it's unnameable, said, all right, at this time, this is what I want to happen, this is what needs to happen. And then, like, lo and behold, created our story. You know what I mean? To fit that, like, not mold, but just that little tiny crack in the universe to open up and say, hey, we got these people that are about to do what we needed to be done. You know?
I think one thing that's interesting to me is that I found most of my lessons and inspiration came from the dark. Like, I grew up around a lot of drug dealers, a lot of criminals, and these kind of people, right? But most of the best lessons that I use in my everyday life come from these people, because I learned so many valuable tools. And I think, like, me and Alex alike, we were the kind of people that were very open, but we were very, like, relatable. So I was able to be in these circles around, like, these different kinds of people that had, like, just this different education that, like, a lot of people would have never got. But it was always to me, like, all right, look, I'm going to tell you this, and I want you to know this because you're not going to do this. But it was like I needed to have that balance. And, like, it was, like you said, those seeds, they were planted, but it wasn't intentional. You know, it wasn't intentional. These people just didn't want a certain thing for me. But what they gave me was a balance that I was able to form around today.
You know, we call them the whispers. You know, they don't realize that they were a whisper for something, that they carried a message for just that moment. And maybe they went on to do something completely different, but in that one moment, they were completely divine. That was that divine alignment, and they were that divine light and that divine communication for just that moment. They might have went off and to something horrible later. But there was that saving grace that got to be the message. You know, and I think that like my teachers must be looking down and be really happy right now. You know, because the life that we choose isn't we have a choice, you know that, right? Like free will changes destiny. But we often, I think, give so much energy to people who have other things, right? And we forget that it's us sometimes, right, that are in the streets, that are doing things that really make the bigger difference. So like the drug dealer, you know, or, you know, like you said, you don't even know who it was, but somebody walked past you for just that moment and the spark was there, right? They brushed you off for just that moment, you know, and I think so many of us are looking for it in a book, or looking for it in a podcast, or looking for it on a TV show, or a Joel Osteen, or an Oprah, and again, I'm not teasing them, I'm not making fun of them, but it's all glitz and glammy and all pretty looking, and yet that real message or the real work isn't there, it's here. And I love that you both had chosen to come here to the Soho House, because it does represent that hidden society almost. Like, do you know about it? Do you want to know about it? Could you know about it? And no, we're not letting everybody in. You got to hold a certain decorum, right? You have to be a certain way, and not in a level of finances, but in who you are and what your values are and how you act and what's your protocol, you know? So I love that we're here right now, you know, in it, because it just shows how the world brings it together, that you need that balance, right? You need the drug dealer, and you need the guy on Wall Street. You can't discount anybody. And it gives everybody that opportunity to feel good and connect and know that they're doing something. So what would be, Alex, the one thing you'd want to leave with the listeners for the podcast?
Oh, man. It's just that confidence, that inner ability to really trust yourself, to really trust the life that you're heading into. That just to understand that it's okay to let go for the time being, and that you're on that path, and that confidence is there, you're backed up, you're supported, you're backed up, and you're supported.
I love that. I'm so lucky.
I think the biggest thing that I would like to leave the listeners to with is just to remember that your life is like a book, right? So there's different chapters. So you gotta just always remember that, like, you're not completely defined by one moment. Like myself personally, like, I didn't graduate high school. I had to go to summer school and I didn't get to walk across the stage, right? I worked as a janitor, I worked as a bouncer, I had all these shitty jobs, but now I'm sitting here somewhere like this, so like that was just one chapter. So whenever you look at your life, like just start thinking about like how can I rewrite the next chapter? Or like even like sometimes have fun with it, right? Me and Alex talk about this all the time. Sometimes we make things more difficult for ourselves unintentionally just because we're like, all right, you know what? Maybe I needed that adversity to put me somewhere higher. But like, don't just sit there. I mean, the worst movie is a movie that like shit is bad in the beginning and it never gets better or worse. It just ends, right? So you can always have like a climax in your life, like where things are bad and then they end and they're good. So like, don't settle for writing your story where it is now, and don't settle for someone telling you that your story can't be something. Just like sit back and think about like, you know, what do I really want out of life? And I made a decision when I was 22, like I wanted to find the things in life, and that's been the frequency that I've been on. And it's as simple as something as like a Beats by Dre headphones that I didn't think I could afford. Someone has a hookup at Best Buy and I get them. A pair of sneakers that I really like, but I didn't have the money for it. I get them as a gift. Like I made that decision, and that frequency is what I've been on, and that's the chapters I've been writing in my book. And those, you know, that style of writing has changed, but it's a book of life, and I'm not just being stuck in one book.
It's what both of you both shared in just two different dialogues was that you go on this frequency that you know you want something, you just don't care how it got there. You know, and you said it in one way and Brian just shared it in another way, and that's what I love about this, because I think we all want something at the end and we predispose in our head that's how it's supposed to happen. So we put ourselves on paths that X, Y, and Z is supposed to happen. Instead of just going with the flow, right? It's like, I want that lamp that's in front of me. I don't know why I want the lamp in front of me. I like the lamp in front of me. And now saying I have to buy the lamp in front of me, I just like the lamp and knowing that that lamp will eventually get to me.
Don't feel bad about wanting the lamp.
Don't feel bad about wanting the lamp. And that's what everyone does. They automatically connect to that. They want something. It must be bad. Am I overlooking it? Am I jealous? No, I like the lamp. Who cares, you know? Now, I'm not saying I'm jealous because the lamp is here in the Soho house.
Yeah.
I just like it, you know, and that your doors open up that way, you know, and that you both show that you become expansive by not limiting how those things can come to you, whether it was your sneakers or your Dr. Dre's, right? Or for you wanting to say, you know what, I like to be here that day, and I want to be here.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Yeah,
I
that's
know
exactly.
I like it here.
I'm like, I don't know what it is, but I just like it.
I just like it.
It was just like, it was for me.
And here I am.
Yeah.
Double their age, right?
A year later.
A year later, double your age, and one of the founding members.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to usher you into it. If someone would have said to me 20 years ago when this first place first started opening,
imagine.
I would have. Hands down, I would have been, no, I'm Carrie from Sex and the City, what do you mean? I'm going to be sitting here with the next spiritual leaders of the next generation, which I think you both will be, honestly. I look at you and my son and I see very strong similarities, and I'm very proud of all three of you because I think that you rise from diversity and you don't let it define you. And you don't let it hold you back. And I think that speaks volumes to your generation. And that's something that, it is generational. My generation didn't have it. We were very much defined by what people called our mistakes. And I don't see that in anything you do, including Hudson, you know? It's almost like you get up every morning, which is what we're supposed to be doing, everyone, so listen to this.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's a new day. You know, we have enough favor for that day. It's like Groundhog's Day. It could be the same day every day, but it's putting away what you make of it every day. And every day is going to offer you something different. And I think I see that in both of you, you know, and Hudson, truthfully. Like he kind of embraces life and says, I tried this, it sucked, I didn't do it.
It
sucked, Mom. That's what he said to me yesterday. It sucked, Mom. It just sucks.
But at least he tried it, you know?
That's what he said. He goes, don't get mad at me. I tried it. That's all I know.
We're not afraid of the fire.
Not afraid of the... Yeah, I have to say, like, I look at both of you, and I can't say that for everyone, because we talk often about where we share one place in common, and I don't know if I see that in everyone that's in that place with us. I don't know if I could look at every other men that stand with you and see that same thing. You know, but I see it in you, and I see what you're able to do, and I'm excited to be a part of it and to watch it grow and to nurture it however I can, and to listen to the podcast whenever you get it back up again.
Coming.
And is it coming?
It's coming.
Oh, you heard it here first. It's coming. Oh, no. You heard it here first. It might be the next Soho House series.
Yeah.
I might be signing off and giving it over to the Hibachis. All right, guys. We love you very much. Out.
Peace, grace, happiness.
To the next time we're in the kitchen with Hibachi. I love.
We already know those guys don't go in no kitchen for that. We're going to belly up to the bar because got to be a tequila somewhere.
Somewhere.
All right. I love you, everyone. Have a fabulous 4th of July. And I know I'm not supposed to say that because who knows when you're listening to this, but still 4th of July in this world.
Exactly.
Namaste, my loves.